Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are too kind. Ready? Can I get an encore? Come on, more. Cook it raw. It's a problem, boy. But for one last time, I need y'all to go.
Get him, Jay.
Who you know president hoe? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can none of y'all mirror me back? Can you hear me rappers right here? She rapping is prime.
Welcome to this latest edition of the NBA Finals post-game show, Oklahoma City, Miami. Miami, LeBron James finally gets his title. Miami wins convincingly. 121-106 in a game that really was really never in doubt. Oklahoma City had a moment in the third quarter where I thought the game turned. We'll certainly talk about that. But this was a game, this was a Miami night, similar to what the Celtics did to the Lakers. Not as bad considering the final score, but in terms of just complete domination, similar to what the Celtics did to the Lakers back in 2008, the game six, that 39-point blowout. Of course, the margin much bigger, but this game was Miami's night, and a difference. What a difference a year makes, you know. When you think, you know, when you think about Miami this year versus last year, and you think about, now clearly the difference was LeBron James and how he performed in the finals this year as comparisons to last year, but the whole mentality of their team changed. From last year to this year. Think about game two of the finals last year. They won game one. They're beating Dallas convincingly in game two. Wade hits a three. Wade, you know, stands up hits a three in the corner, poses in front of the Dallas bench. You hear LeBron, you know, kind of go over there and kind of encourage him on. And, you know, they just had, and they, you know, they go on to lose that game and lose the series. And, you know, there was just last year, there was just so much extra with this team that had nothing to do with basketball. And a lot of it self-inflicted, quotes through the media, not only by players, by Eric Spoelstra. How about the quote after the Bulls game when they lost to the Bulls in the regular season? You know, guys were crying. Unnecessary stuff. You didn't get that this year. This year, it was a shortened season with the 66 games, the lockout, shortened season. But this year, it was just about playing basketball. LeBron James was a man on a mission. He didn't do much talking. And that filtered to the rest of the team. You didn't see many quotes through the media. You didn't see many quotes through Twitter. Last year, his team couldn't stay off Twitter. I heard something the other day that LeBron James hadn't posted a tweet since April, before the playoffs started. So they grew up. They grew up. I mean, that's all there is to it. Look at this game again. A Miami night. Miami shoots 51% for the game. They knocked down 14 three-pointers. Eight of them came from Mike Miller, who, you know, I'm sick of hearing about Mike Miller's back, by the way, please. I mean, we know he's banged up. They played that off. They played that just, you know, they didn't mention that too many times. He had a great game. We'll talk about him with his eight threes, 23 points in 23 minutes. The difference in this series, I mean, to me there were three main differences in this series. Number one, the experience factor. And it's something I underestimated when I picked Oklahoma City to win this series. But you can't underestimate getting there, losing, and then that hunger the following season. We've seen it before or throughout the history of the NBA. Teams that get there, lose, have an extra hunger once that second year. We're now joined by my cousin, Chad Quinn, and we opened the season with the preview show in December with Miami, Oklahoma. We closed the season with Miami Heat winning the championship. Certainly no surprise there. What are your thoughts on this game as well as the series altogether. And you know, if you hadn't tuned, you know, hadn't listened to the show prior, I just talked about, to me, the difference from Miami from this year, from last year, this year compared to last year, that you didn't hear a lot of that extra talk through the media. They kind of grew up, they kind of were businesslike, starting with LeBron. Last year they were just a production drama all throughout the course of the year, just couldn't shut up. This year I thought they were more focused, played basketball, and it showed on the court. What are your thoughts?
First of all, hello everybody, but I didn't agree with you more. I think they like you're saying, they were very professional about it, but you really saw that maturity, and you know, there's no way getting around it. The story is LeBron James. And I think what was most impressive is that we witnessed this man, in a sense, grow up before us. I think, you know, a lot of people, they talk about, myself even, how they came out there like a rap concert last year, and he talked about not one, not two, not three. And it wasn't even, I had a problem with him saying so many. I had a problem with him have never won. So, if you never won, you don't know what it takes to win. And I think that showed how immature he was. Just forget about the decision alone. But for him to say, we're going to win a championship when he doesn't know what it takes. So I think, like you're saying, you know, that pain he had to go through really helped them all grow. And as you see, you know, you see the sweet, but you saw the bitter with the OKC. They're crying after the game, and I think next year they're going to come back scarier than ever. So I think it was just one of those series that you see. What I like most about it besides maturity was just the excitement that this series brought, that hopefully will have a new rivalry brewing. So that's what I like.
Absolutely. And let me say this. I've had major problems with LeBron James in the past since 2010, since he made that decision. I'm not even going to go to the Game 5 Boston, Cleveland. We don't have to revisit that. We understand there were some extenuating circumstances that caused that performance. So this is not even a night for that. I'm not even going to go there.
Right.
But with the decision, the drama behind that, not the actual decision. I had no problem with it. He clearly wanted to play with better players. No problem with that. Matter of fact, he took too much heat for that, to be honest with you. But just, like I said, the whole, you know, I've had major problems with him and questioned whether or not, and when he came to the league, I was a LeBron fan. You noticed how big of a fan.
Yeah.
I watched him drag the team in 2007 to a finals with Boobie Gibson. So I was like, this dude is going to be, he's going to own the league. He may win 5, 6, 7 championships. I said it before, probably he was thinking it. So, with that being said, he cannot get enough credit. I guarantee you, had he lost this series, I would have came on this show and we'd have been blasting him, no matter what he did.
Blasting him,
even despite the numbers or what have you, even though it probably would have been Wade's fault and the role player's fault.
Yeah, it would.
But so he can't get enough credit. That was one of the great postseasons of all time in recent memory. He did everything that you could possibly do. To me, I look at definitive performances for this postseason. I look at the turning points with Miami. It was one in particular, and I won't even go to Boston series. Game 4, Indiana. Bosh is hurt. Wade is on another plane. I don't know where Wade was at. Wade didn't join the playoffs up to that point.
Yeah.
And they're in Indiana, down 2-1. He 40-18. So that was a definitive performance. That's one of the great performances in recent postseason history. And that, to me, was the turning point of the playoffs for Miami. They got them tougher. Indiana got them more physical. Wade found his game, gave Bosh some extra rest time to get healthy, and it allowed them to catch their breath to get their sea legs before the Boston series. So, LeBron can't get enough credit. And, as far as Oklahoma City goes, I have some stats for my fans out there, stats, some numbers here. Miami shot 51%. They knocked down 14 three-point shots, three-pointers, which is the NBA Finals record. Mike Miller,
Yeah,
this This is one of the most baffling performances in finals history. It really is.
Yeah.
First of all, I got tired of hearing about his back, but he was hurt because he couldn't walk.
He was hurt. He was he couldn't walk straight. He was not playing.
He could not walk straight. I mean, he could shoot, but he could not. He couldn't move. But this was just, you know, this was Miami tonight's team. I mean, you look at the difference to me, the difference in the series, the experience factor, and just the domination domination by Miami's role players at comparisons to Oklahoma City's role players. Yeah, Mario Chalmers, in this game alone, Chalmers had 10, Battier had 11, Miller had 23. For the series, you had Battier had two 17-point games. Chalmers had a 25-point game. And again, Mike Miller has a 23-point game. Oklahoma City got nothing out of the role players, including James Harden. And I didn't even consider him a role player, but he played like a role player. He played less than a role player. He had 19 a night, but it was the most meaningless 19 points you'll ever see. The quietest, it meant nothing. He was a non-factor. Ibaka had some nice blocks in spurts, but for the most part, non-factor. I mean, they dominated Oklahoma City, the role players. To me, that was a difference. I mean, you get the role players in that big three outplayed, big three. Oklahoma City had to win. Like, Oklahoma City had to be basically even with the big three and also win the battle of the role players.
Yeah, and I want to go back for a second when you said what else stands out. Like you said, first of all credit goes to LeBron. All the hate goes to him, so all the credit got to go to him. But one thing that was very significant, going back to when Chris Bosh first got hurt, Chris Bosh meant just as much to Miami as Dwayne Wade did. Towards the end of that Boston season series into this finals. And I think that all the people like Shaq that say they don't have a big three, they have a big two. If you're going to say they have a big two, you got to say they have a big three. Unless Wade comes back to, you know, playing consistently at a high level, Chris Bosh meant just as much, whether it was his defense, his rebounding, or his just keeping the defense honest with his jump shot or driving past the slower Perkins. Chris Bosh stepped up. And I think to the younger fans out there, just to show you how much Mike Miller was hurt, Mike Miller was never a spot-up three-point shooter. He was like a baller. Mike Miller could drive on you. He had a lot of different moves. He's a three-way player. And you saw how this man was. I sometimes it's like playing a video game that you kind of know that it's just over. The threes that he hit, Batty hit this fall-away three, the same fall-away three he hit the other night. And it was just like, come on. You know, they couldn't miss, but
it brought me back to give me a nightmare flashback to 2008 when Boston closed out the Lakers in that game.
Yeah, it really was very similar to that. And the crazy thing about it is, and a lot of people might not agree with this, but this game showed and put to rest for just now. I'm not saying it's put to rest permanently, but just for the season. LeBron is the best player in the league. Because, you know, we always had a debate about Durant. There is no debate. Durant had, 34 and 11 or whatever, but they were meaningless. The main difference is, besides LeBron being a better defensive player, he can beat you and control the game without scoring. He controls the game. When he's playing like he should play, there's nobody in this league that's as good as him. Because he can do too many different things. He draws the defense in. He just makes the right plays. And there's no pressure on Durant. I don't know if Durant will ever be, I doubt he'll ever be as good a passer as LeBron. You know, that doesn't mean he won't be as good as a player. You know, he's still 5 years away from even hitting his prime, which is scary. But right now, LeBron James is unequivocally the best player on the planet. And, you know, we always award that award when you win the ring. It just
comes with it. That's no debate. There's no doubt. Yep. This was the final thing. This was when Jordan finally won in 91. Magic beat out Bird. That championship puts you at that. When you're that talented, the only thing left to do is win the championship. Jordan had one MVP, scoring titles. He had won a championship. He wasn't better than Magic. Magic had five rings. You know, LeBron MVPs had averaged 30. Wasn't better. You know, had won. You know, had done everything you could do individually. Kobe had five rings. So you know, this was the final thing. There's no debate, no discussion about it. He is the best player. Durant is right there. Right there is you know, as a number two, which is fine at the age of 23, which is scary. Durant is so good, and not to take away from LeBron, Durant is so good that people won't understand to be how young he is, to be just like he has. Durant could be one of the great players of all time. He has a chance to be the greatest player of all time. That's how
will be one of the greatest of all time, definitely.
He has a chance to be in that discussion.
And like you said, it's unfair because he's so good that we always overlook how young he is. You know, at 23 years old, already 3 scoring titles, and his effect on the game already, he continues to get better. He's a gym rat, you know, so it's very scary. I mean, going back, and I hate to, continue to make comparisons, but LeBron has been immature the majority of his career. I don't recall LeBron crying like that when they lost to the Spurs. You know, Durant lives for this game.
Durant will be in the gym tomorrow. I mean, Durant, he's that type of lead. Durant will be in the gym tomorrow. That's who he is. That's the thing. Here's the thing. And they're obviously different personalities. Durant wants to create his own brand through winning championships and things. Durant's not a celebrity. He's a basketball player. Durant is that's who he is. He's true to who he is, bottom line.
So that
gives him an advantage over probably 98% of players who are playing out there who try to be this bigger than life persona, who are even not that talented.
Two things real quick, if you will. Just one thing to show, and I already knew the series was over the other game because it's all in OKC's body language. I was talking to a friend, and he was like, if anybody could come back from a game this bad, it would be OKC. That was true until they got to the finals. It was even evident, it was about maybe 5 minutes left in the third quarter. The game was so far gone. But OKC decides to get to a 3-point shoot match when they were completely cold anyway. They got so desperate so early. So it's like, okay, this team is definitely not on the same level. You know, they understand that they have to gracefully bow out, and the body language is terrible. You know, you got Ibaka, and making press comments about LeBron James' defense. It's like they went away from what got them there. You know, that hunger they had, that rebelliousness, it got exposed. And, you know, the only thing I say to them is not about, oh, man, what does general manager have to do? They don't have to do nothing but get older.
I think a couple of things they can do. Just add, to me, they need to add a couple of shooters. I think you need to add maybe one or two shooters to spread the floor, you know, for Durant and Westbrook to give them that much more room to operate. So I say add a couple of shooters, which you can get easily. I mean, you know, how about Ray Allen? I mean, you know.
My caveat with Ray Allen is I have to see you play first, because when you get old and you get injured, I can't just say, all right, Ray Allen was missing foul shots last time I saw him. I need him to come and practice. And I don't mean it in no disrespectful way. But when you get older, I just want to see you. Want to test it out. But I agree, he'd be the perfect fit for what they need. You know, just a couple more pieces. And this is what I want to also say, and I want to put this to rest real quick. And this also goes to show their age. This NBA playoffs, as good as it was, as great as it was, in recent history, I'll go in the last 5 to 10 years, was one of the consistently worst officiated playoffs I have seen. I'm not talking about just the finals. Like, all of these rounds have been terrible officiating on both sides. But I said I want to put this to rest because I've already saw some comments from some OKC fans or Pete haters, whatever, either way you want to call it. And it was like they didn't give a chance to get momentum. Yeah, there were some bad calls. But the thing is, OKC's. You're a team number one, but then OKC's immaturity led them to let the refs take the game from them.
Yeah, they got to their head.
They started looking for the call every minute.
Yeah.
They didn't get the call. They just body language is sunken in. And it's like, look, man, people forget. As much as y'all, people want to hate on LeBron, Magic said it best. You can call for Jordan's direction. The problem is with these older players, we make them urban legends. But Jordan, you know, and he's not Jordan, no, and I'm not calling LeBron Jordan. But you could even get close to Jordan. This comes with the game. The older team's going to get a couple more calls. You know, when you're in a room, you're not getting those calls. You got to understand this, and you got to play through it. And it sucks. I don't think it's something they're ever going to change, but it's just part of the game. You're not the first team to go through this. I had to put my name plug in here. Did LeBron and basically just beat up Melo the whole first round? Yeah. But you know what? That's the team. That's the best part of the playoffs. So OKC, that was another reason that their age was shown, because they allowed the rest to get in their head. They couldn't even focus on the game anymore. They sitting there waiting for the call.
Yeah, they allowed that to get in their head. The officiating was horrible. NBA guys, they got to decide what a charge is. I mean, because I don't know what has happened with that call. I never used to have a problem with it, but now it's like college. It then became like college now where everything's a charge. So they, guys can just slide under. So they definitely got to fix that. But they get some, younger officials. Because there were too many missed calls, too many key missed calls. And it's embarrassing to your sport when you have officiating like this poor during the course of an NBA playoffs and NBA finals. Overall, I would think that these playoffs, and I thought about this when Mike Breen said this, bringing up these great moments and, saying a quarter of the games were decided by 3 points or less. Let's be honest. These were not good playoffs overall.
Yeah.
The quality of play, the San Antonio-Oklahoma series was a classic. This series had some moments that were entertaining.
Boston-Miami was a classic. Boston-Miami
was a classic. Yeah, so you got one classic and a half, two classics, basically, for the tournament. And those didn't come to the Western Conference Finals. Conference semifinals were bad. I mean, let's be honest. Conference semifinals were bad for the most part. Were not very good. Miami kind of toyed with Indiana a bit, even though they were in some trouble. But they kind of toyed with them with their play.
Everything was terrible.
Quarterfinals, you had the Clipper comeback was,
That was the only good series. That was the best series.
Even the Denver Lakers series was okay. It wasn't a great series. It went seven.
The Knicks Miami was intriguing, but they got hurt so bad. Clippers in Memphis.
The playoffs overall were not good. And it's something they need, the NBA needs an 82-game season. They need a full season of guys in shape. You need more quality teams. Because right now, if you're forecasting 2012-2013, is Heat Thunder again? I mean, who on the East Coast is going to beat the Heat right now?
Yeah.
There's nobody even close. I mean, at least the Thunder has some suitors. I mean, San Antonio will be very good. Dallas can sign Darren Williams. They also can make some moves, where they can return to possibly championship style. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do. I'll wait and see with that. But, I mean, at least the West has something. East, there's nothing in the East. There's nothing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I mean, the quality of play, a lot of it, like you said, had to do with just you forcing this 66 game regular season. They had no training camp. So you have, this wasn't even just about injuries. This was injuries to superstars all season going left and right. Not trying to be a hater, but who knows if Derrick Rose was healthy. Because Chicago was a scary team, a very scary team. And, I'm not saying they would have beat the Heat. I think the Heat was destined to win this year. But we just don't know those things. I think, and we also don't know if, I hear good reports, but we don't know how Derrick Rose will come back. Now, if he comes back healthy, they're probably the second best team in the East with a healthy Derrick Rose, Chicago. But like you say, it would be crazy to pick anything other than Miami and OKC. And in all honesty, there's nothing wrong with that for a few years. I'll be intrigued right now to see a Durant who's lost come back.
And
play
a little
older Miami Heat. I'll be intrigued to see that.
Go ahead. Keep going.
No, but I was saying, like you said, though, you need a little more parity, a few more teams. I think when LeBron was going through that Him Against the World tour last year, the smartest thing he said all year, which he retracted, was the NBA should contract. I mean, I agree. Please kick the Charlotte Bobcats out the league. I'm on record as a Jordanator. But please just kick them out of the league. Don't waste Anthony Davis' legs. That's not him. He's not going. He's going to New Orleans. But
there's
a couple teams that you don't need.
There are a couple teams that you don't need. As far as Oklahoma City is concerned, moving forward, again, this happens all the time in the NBA. Chicago Bulls had to go through it with the Pistons. Pistons had to go through it beating the Celtics and getting through the Lakers. Lakers had to go through it a couple times in San Antonio, Utah, when Kobe and Shaq didn't have any championships. So it is very rare that a young team, especially this young, will get to a finals and win it their first time. It doesn't happen. I mean, that's just how it is. And you look at the last couple of champions, they have been, you know, the thing about the NBA, you know, there's the so-called youth movement, and there's more quality young players now than there ever was, and then there has been a generation, even going back to Jordan Barkley when they came out. But it's still, you know, champions in the past. I mean, last three champions, you had Miami with some of the veterans they had. You had Dallas, what they did last year. Had the Lakers a couple of years, back-to-back years. Then Boston before that. Then San Antonio. The older veteran teams are still winning the championships when it comes down to it. So, it sounds good to be the Memphis Grizzlies. We know Oklahoma City is going to win championships. But it sounds good to be the Clippers, but you still have to have veterans and you still have to get there. You still have to get
there.
Now,
the one thing, to your point, which is a great point, valid point, but when you talk about Miami before, when you talk about the Lakers, and when you talk about Dallas, those last three champions, what you also got to bring up is one common thread besides them being veterans was redemption. They all had lost. And I think, you know, when the Lakers got embarrassed by Boston, Dallas getting embarrassed by Miami, then Miami getting embarrassed by Dallas, not in that quarter, but you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I think the good thing about OKC is their youth, by losing like this, they actually advanced the curve up a little bit. So although Durant is 23, losing like this, he's not your average 23 anymore. You know, so if I see Miami and OKC, I still would favor Miami one more year. You know, it ain't like Jordan beat Detroit right away. You know, it is a couple years they're going to take. But I feel like with losing like this, OKC has grown, you know, tremendously, like in dog years with this type of loss, you know. So they will be one of those young veteran teams that you don't normally see. You know,
right.
I think like when you bring up the Lakers and Dallas, they're very intriguing because Kobe's still a killer. All he needs is a little youth with him. Dallas, on the other hand, they have money, but it depends on who goes. Like if Deep Williams went to the Lakers somehow, they the best team to me. They right there with OKC. If Deep Williams goes to Dallas, I still favor that OKC a little bit because one thing that I didn't like this year, and in all fairness, because he's a champion, but when Dirk took off completely, I've never in the history of the league seen a player not play due to being out of shape. I mean, not a superstar.
Dirk is one of the top 25 players of all time.
I respect him. You know, I respect him. But I don't know if with some players you find that one championship is enough. I know Kobe's hunger. Kobe, if he had 10, it wouldn't be enough. And I'm not questioning Dirk's hunger, but I don't know if his hunger is the same. So when you get an older team, I don't know that Dallas is just ready. They're like, oh, man, next year's our year. You know, they was interviewing Dirk, and he just marveling at how good, you know, Durant is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know what type of Dallas team is going to come back, even with Deron Williams, because one thing I don't like about Deron Williams is
he's a winner.
Right. I don't really consider him a winner. I consider him a good player. So I don't know what kind of effect, and I'm being real, I don't know what kind of effect he'll have. He'll definitely make them a contender, but I still will give the heads up to the nod to OKC in that case.
You know, I was thinking about this. Stuart Scott's talking to Wade right now. I'm not listening to the interview because we're doing the show. I was thinking about this with Wade, and I'm thinking, you know, last year Wade in the finals was great. He, again, besides game six, where he probably was just worn down from carrying them with LeBron struggling. I think Wade's decline actually helped them from the standpoint of, now he couldn't, not his decline to a point to where he was just like a role player, because they couldn't survive that. But his decline into this, basically, the last four or five games of this series, he was basically like Scottie Pippen.
I really believe
if Wade's game is the way it was last year, this year, I think LeBron would have been like, hold up, you know, I don't need to be as great as I need to be. And
right,
it's still your team. It's still your team.
Yeah.
And he would have been. You can make a case that Wade was the player he was last year or 2 years ago. They don't win a championship.
Right. And to your point, whether you want to say Jordan or Pippen, like, okay, first of all, we've never seen two Jordans on one team. We've never seen two Larry Birds on one team. We've never seen two Magic Johnsons on one team. So whatever category you want to put LeBron in, like, we'll call him Jordan. You got to call him one of the best. You don't see two Kobe's on one team. One of the most dominant teams you saw was the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, but when Shaq was dominant, Kobe was more of a Pippen. And then when Kobe started to be more dominant, Shaq was more of the Pippen. So I think the main thing you said was LeBron couldn't rely on Dwayne Wade's greatness. And I think when I was talking to someone earlier, what that aha moment for him was when he realized no matter where he goes, he can't hide. He didn't come to Miami just to play with better players. He came to Miami to take some of that pressure off him and win as a team. Well, I don't have to be the man. I don't have to take all the pressure. What he didn't realize, we still see you. You 6'7", 275. You can't hide behind Wade. You know? And although Dwight Howard's bigger than you, if you had to win to Orlando, you couldn't hide behind Dwight Howard. I think LeBron finally realized it. At the end of the day, like you said, if they had a loss, he could average 30, 15, and 15. And every paper, every column, every report would have been like he can't finish. So I think he finally realized, no matter what, it's on me.
Wade's game, it was like it was last year. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, because in all fairness to LeBron, you look last year, it wasn't that he just stopped playing. He was trying to get the ball back to Wade. I actually remember scenarios where Wade threw it and he threw it right back. You take it. He was trying to. He didn't want to be the best player. He didn't want to. LeBron would have been completely content winning a championship with Dwayne Wade being the MVP, and he would have just been partying and having a good time because he's a winner too. He really would have been fine like that.
Yeah.
But that was his story. When you call yourself the chosen one, you can't be the second best.
No, he's too talented. I mean, when you had the talent to be one of the greatest players of all time. When you had the kind, it's like when you could be on the Mount Rushmore of players, you can't. There's no hiding. There's no hiding.
No,
like,
you're right.
That's sports. There's no hiding. You're gonna get scrutinized.
Two questions I have moving forward in regards to LeBron and his career. One, I mean, you talked about this a long time ago. this is like, this is reality TV at its best. You know, this is Ed TV. This is the Truman Show. To watch LeBron, I really was always intrigued. If he ever would win, would it just unleash this complete bam? No, because everyone knows with LeBron, it was a mental thing. It was mental. He couldn't get to the top. He's here now. So what happens now that he's finally removed that mental block? So before you answer that's my first one. My second one, which we'll see within the coming weeks, how much of the haters does he silence? We know he doesn't silence them all because he's only won one. They're also going to say he's also had Wade with him. So I really want to see how